There's a new baker in the AOPA kitchen. The UPS crew were warned they were too low. And for sale, NASA's really slow-moving vehicle transports. This is Aero News for Wednesday, August 21st, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Mark R. Baker, described by AOPA as a, quote, longtime general aviation pilot, end quote, has been named president and chief executive officer of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Baker is only the fifth AOPA president since the association's founding nearly 75 years ago. Baker, an AOPA member since 1987, commented on his selection, saying, quote, many of my happiest moments have been spent flying and sharing my passion for aviation with others. I am committed to the priorities of the membership and will ensure that AOPA's focus remains on carrying out our mission of protecting the freedom to fly, end quote. A native Minnesotan, Baker, age 55, became a pilot in his 20s and has logged more than 7,500 hours of flight time. The pilot community and his close flying friends are the reason he can be found at an airport or a seaplane base nearly every weekend. An aircraft owner, Baker enjoys flying everything from light seaplanes to turbines and helicopters, but his favorite airplane continues to be his Piper Super Cub. The NTSB said that the crew flying that UPS A300 that went down short of Birmingham Airport got both ground proximity and sink rate warnings before the plane impacted terrain. The accident fatally injured both pilots on board. Radio station KRMG relays information from the Wall Street Journal that indicates the crew had very little time, however, to react to the alarms when they sounded in the cockpit. The first sink rate alarm reportedly sounded 16 seconds before the airplane hit the ground. 3 seconds later, one pilot said the ground was in sight, but by then it was too late to arrest the sink rate. Runway 18 at Birmingham Shuttlesworth Airport is reportedly not equipped for precision instrument approaches. The accident occurred just at sunrise, and there was rain falling, reducing visibility. Fox News reports that NTSB member Robert Sumwalt said that the information about the alarms came from the cockpit voice recorder, but nothing has been ruled in or out for determining the cause of the accident. NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida is seeking concepts for the potential use or divestment of 3 historic launch platforms that are not needed for the agency's current or planned future missions. A request for information released Friday will gauge the interest of commercial or government entities for using the 3 nearly identical mobile launcher platforms in support of either commercial launch activity, deconstruction, or an alternative option that benefits the public, environment, or other entities not associated with space. The 3 mobile launch platforms were used to hold Saturn rockets and space shuttles as they made their way from the Vehicle Assembly Building to the launch pads in preparation for travel into space. They move really, really slow, and they weigh about 8.2 million pounds. The RFI is the latest in the work to transform Kennedy into a multi-user spaceport for both government and commercial clients. Details are still scarce, but it appears that another Cirrus pilot has been saved by the CAPS system installed in his airplane. A Cirrus SR-22 reportedly went down Sunday about 3 miles from Texarkana Regional Airport. The accident occurred about 7:30 p.m. local time. First responders to the scene said that the pilot was out of the airplane and walking around at the scene, according to television station KSLA. The pilot told the first responders that he had experienced some kind of engine trouble and pulled the chute. The plane landed in a field between 2 roads in Miller County, Texas. ANN has learned that the pilot had just been handed off from controllers at DFW to Texarkana. The DFW controller said there had been no indication of any problem. The accident is under investigation by the NTSB and the FAA. A B-1B Lancer with the 28th Bomb Wing at Ellsworth Air Force Base in South Dakota went down near Broadus, Montana, during a routine training mission on Monday, August 19th, the Air Force announced in a statement. A crew of two pilots and two weapons systems officers were on board. All four of the air crew safely ejected with some injuries. The Air Force will investigate and release additional information as it becomes available. Following a floatplane accident in Canada Friday, which resulted in the fatal injury of the pilot and one other person on board, Bill Yearwood, spokesman for the Canadian Transportation Safety Board, says that the two who were fatally injured might have been saved if a mandatory measure to prevent post-accident fires on airplanes had been put in place. There were six aboard the aircraft, four escaped and survived the crash, and a reported post-crash fire. The CTSB recommended improved post-fire protection following a similar incident back in 2011, but Transport Canada said at the time that making those changes across the industry would not be simple or inexpensive and would not be effective in reducing the number of fatal injuries. When Aero News continues, how much is that airplane in the garage? Add to that something borrowed, something blue, something bruised, and there's a bear in the air. Actually, two.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, August 21st. I'm Glenn Moyer. Used clothing, toys, computers, even appliances are commonplace at garage sales. But airplanes? A recent sale in East Grand Forks, North Dakota drew a lot of attention when the list of items advertised included a 1946 Cessna 140. Rob Love put the plane up for sale because he had stopped flying, largely because of the expense. He told the Grand Forks Herald that he and several friends used their airplanes for activities ranging from flights out for breakfast to wintertime ice fishing trips. But he said most of his buddies had quit flying as well, and the airplane has seen little use in the past few years. So he decided it was time to move on. The aircraft is airworthy, and the sale drew the attention of WDAZ-TV, who reported that the Cessna, purchased by Love in 1979, sold for about $20,000 at the weekend garage sale. A quadcopter being flown by a photographer to get aerial video of a bride and groom during a pre-wedding photo shoot got away from the operator and conked the groom in the head. And there's video to prove it. Fortunately, the incident happened a couple of days before the wedding, so the groom had a bit of time to heal up before the ceremony. The video, posted by TheObserver.com in its Beta Beat column, shows the aircraft taking off and making a beeline for the couple who are standing in a field. In about 5 seconds, the aircraft hits the groom in the head and falls to the ground. The quadcopter, that is. The photographer posted on his blog that he had made one successful flyby, missing everyone, of course, and was going back for a second shot when the quadcopter got away from him. Some are superstitious, of course, about a bride and groom seeing each other before their wedding, especially if the bride is wearing the gown, which in this case she was. But the groom showed that he's a good sport. The photographer got to keep his job as their official wedding photographer, and the groom asked the photographer to post the video on YouTube. Flooding that is said to be the worst in the far eastern region of Russia in 120 years has affected some 140 towns and forced the evacuation of some 20,000 people. Not surprisingly, there have been some dramatic rescues as rising waters threaten, but perhaps the most unusual was the saving of two bears. The two bears lived in a cage close to a campsite near the city of Blagoveshchensk. As floodwaters threatened the two, the Emergency Situations Ministry dispatched a helo to their aid. In a ministry video reposted by the UK newspaper The Times, the helo can be seen hovering over the animal's cage while workers quickly secure it to a hoist. The cage containing the bears is then lifted and carried to higher ground and safety, giving a new meaning to that old CB-er slang, "there's a bear in the air." After being set back on the ground, the bears appeared to be none the worse for their trip, moving about in the cage as if nothing had happened. There was no word as to whether or not either of the bears requested a picnic basket. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.